content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. So, if you happen to have your 13-year-old listening in...
That's your problem.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very, very much. I'd like to hope you're having a great day wherever you're at in the world. And, you know, check it out. You can always find us there, wherever that is. There, you can always find us here on BBS Radio every Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern. And also check us out on Anchor FM and iTunes amongst over about 100 different places there. So if you are an expert or authority or have an amazing personal story that revolves around the supernatural, we want to know about it. All you have to do is go to spirituallyraw.com and just submit your information and we will get to you. And don't forget, I'm getting better at this, make sure to follow us on Facebook at Spiritually Raw and join our Facebook group, Secrets to Radio Riches. And remember, you are really only one show away, right?
That's right.
All right, so let's talk about who's up today. We got a jam-packed show again.
We are busy, busy, busy. First up today, we have Christine Breeze. She is the founder of the University of the Metaphysical Sciences, Gia Sagrada Retreat Center, and the founder of Free Retreats for All. Christine attributes her youthful enthusiasm and vitality to the spiritual self-work she did to transcend depression, abuse, suicidal feelings, and learning how to enter the realms of joy and happiness. She spent much of her own spiritual journey without money for retreats or workshops, so she wants to give you the chance to be in satsang, whether you have money or not. Christine is dedicated to the awakening of humanity, changing the world for the better, and helping those who are trying to improve their lives and attain an understanding of spirituality.
All right, let's welcome Christine back to the show.
Hello.
Hello, Christine. How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you so much for having me on again.
Oh, yeah.
This is episode number 2 for Christine.
You're a crowd favorite. You know that, right? So anytime you talk about anything that gets you to an altered state, you're always going to be a crowd favorite. So that's up for any other upcoming guests. Figure out an altered state kind of conversation. It'll get you back, right? So, Christine, tell us a little bit about, I want to get right into this a little bit. Can you explain to us what satsang is?
Satsang means a gathering in truth. And it's a time when everyone can really ponder the big questions of life and that kind of stuff. it's technically a term that's been used by Hindu, in Eastern Indian traditions, but it's kind of become a household word now. And almost every spiritual teaching kind of situation or spiritual conversation is in a way a satsang.
Got it. So a little bit back to you. Let's get about you here. So what happened in your life that caused this great depression?
Well, when I was a child, my parents didn't know what was happening for me. And there was camp, there was school, there was all kinds of things that were happening that technically a child shouldn't go through. But honestly, it feels like a past life now. I've healed it in such a deep manner that it doesn't even affect me anymore. And the way I see it now is that it has given me the, oh, shall we say, like a PhD in working with the shadow side. And I can help people who have been through that. And so, I'm happy now, and I'm proof that it can be transcended.
Congratulations. So what did you do to actually, transcend the depression?
Well, it took a lot of self-introspection, took a lot of meditation. Basically, meditation has to be the path. One way or another, you've got to find a way to meditate, to go deep into, meet the master within you and find the answers for yourself. Because you could watch YouTube videos and read self-help books and all of that stuff, but until you learn how to tap into the wisdom within you, which has the keys to your own personal healing, that's when you're really going to get somewhere.
So I totally agree with what you're saying, but for so many people, a lot of people, they have a really hard time doing what you just said, even though you made it sound really, really easy. So
what, meditating?
Yeah, like just, I remember when I first started meditating, it wasn't easy. Like I had a really hard time connecting and turning my mind down and just, you know, being able to, the best thing I found was running. That was a time for me to meditate. Mm-hmm. So for people that are having a really hard time turning the mind off to be able to focus, how can you help them? Like, what suggestions can you give them?
That's a really good point, because I'll be honest, it wasn't easy for me in the beginning either, but practice makes perfect. And everybody has their own different way of meditating. Some people, they need a walking meditation. I know a lot of people who the only way to turn off the mind is walking in nature or exercising or painting or dancing, something that puts you in a place where you're in the zone. It doesn't have to be sitting in a lotus position saying om for an hour. It doesn't have to be that. But it has to be something that gets you to just be in the moment, really in the moment. And that's a way to begin. But one of the things I would suggest to people is start with guided meditation. If you want to learn meditation, start with guided meditation, because a lot of people try to do the advanced level of meditation or just sitting still with no thoughts. That's advanced level meditation, and then they think they can't do it. But there's some training wheel versions of doing it, like having something that you do while you're meditating. Some people find yoga to be a really great meditation, because this is something your body is doing while your mind is getting still. And then the guided meditations, there's thousands of them for free on YouTube.
Well, you know what?
I've got some at my site.
Yeah, talking about guided meditation, because I wrote this a couple weeks ago, and this is just came back to me when I was looking up her YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm. You mean Christine's YouTube
videos?
Yeah,
the one that had like 750,000 hits.
Yeah, right on, Christine.
Is her guided meditation. I'm like, all right. And it's the middle of the afternoon, and I'm trying to, you know, work. But I'm like, all right, 750,000 hits. I need to see what this is all about. And it's very hypnotic. And it gets you there really, really, really quick. So if anyone...
Why don't you ask that? Why don't you watch that one then?
Well, I know. At the time, I just was like, oh my God. And then, you know, you get busy and then I forgot about it. Now she just started talking about it again. And I'm like, oh my God, that was great. So now I'm going to start using it. And anyone... I just kind of answer my own question. So if anybody's out there, you know, having difficulty centering your mind and,
April did right now.
Exactly. Go to Christine's YouTube channel and watch that video. So do you want to give a shout out? What is your YouTube address?
It's Christine Breese, youtube.com/Christine Breese, CHRISTINEBREESE. Like the wind, but with an S instead of a Z.
It's really awesome.
I think that meditation you were talking about, sorry. I have to give room for that. I think that meditation was called Meet Your Powerful Consciousness. That one has been really powerful.
Powerful Consciousness. I like that. Hey, so I want to talk about this here. May no soul be left behind in the Great Awakening. Tell me where you came up or... You know, can you explain to us what that means?
Well, it's freeretreatsforall.com, freeretreats4all.com. I just feel like so many people are being left behind because of money and this awakening that's happening for humanity right now. So many spiritual teachers are getting really rich, and it costs so much money to be with them, and it's impossible for a lot of people to reach, especially people who are in a deep process, because it's hard to manifest money while you're really needing the healing. It's almost like the people who don't have money need it the most. And so I wanted to make it possible so that there's no excuses for anybody who wants to awaken, that there's these resources. I do a lot of free videos. I do a lot of free meditations, free courses. But free retreats gives a chance for people to come and meet others of like mind and to be in a peak spiritual experience that these kind of retreats can be.
Awesome.
Does that give them the ability to stay there, or is it just a matter for the actual ceremony at that time?
Well, we don't provide housing and food and everything. Everybody just brings their own lunch, and they have to have their own housing. Like, they could get a hotel or nearby, or stay with a friend, or camp, or whatever it is that they do. But the retreat itself, the actual meeting space, is free for them to come to.
So, where is this located?
Say again?
Where are they located?
Well, we're doing one next at the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show coming up February 15th in 2020. And I'm going to try to do one there every year around the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show, because everybody who loves these kind of retreats loves crystals.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And that's a great place to get really well-priced wholesale level crystals and stuff like that.
So, I'm on a Moldavite kick.
So that
right
way they
now.
Have two reasons to go. So.
What's your thoughts about Moldavite? I'm on a Moldavite kick.
Yeah, the Moldavite is great for lucid dreaming. Put it on your pillow.
Oh, you know what? Actually, I had a Moldavite for a couple years, and then I just recently gave it away to someone who I felt like needed it. So I went and bought one. And Jay never wanted to use it. And all of a sudden, I came home with it. This was literally just a couple days ago. And he's like, you know what? I really like that one. So I'm like, why don't you start wearing it? He only can wear it for about, at the first time, maybe an hour the first day. Second day, maybe an hour and a half, and still we can't sleep with it in the bedroom because it's too much. So, but we're working up to it. But
it's a space rock.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Why you gotta tell people my personal business on air like that? Talk about your own stuff, man.
Mine's
my
boring.
Gosh, Jay can't sleep with it on there. Jay's having problems. What the hell?
Well, it's the truth. So Christine, why now? Why do you think? In our lifetime, why are we the lucky ones to be going through this evolution of evolvement?
We're leaving the dark yuga. We're leaving the Kali Yuga. Every 26,000 years, the Earth goes above the galactic plane, and then every 26,000 years, it goes below the galactic plane. And we're getting ready to go into the Sat Yuga now, which is a utopian light-filled reality. The Dark Yuga, the Kali Yuga, which happened for the past 26,000 years, was this exploration of the darkness and the no awareness and learning how to use power or not how to use power and to in the land of cause and effect. And the reason why we're in this era now is because we're literally passing to another season. They're like seasons. Like the Kali Yuga could be thought of as the winter. The Sat Yuga could be thought of as the summer, and it takes about 1,000 years to make the transition. We're about 200 years into it now, and in our lifetimes, we're going to see huge changes. The next 800 years of human evolution is just going to be like mind-blowing.
Oh, so we're in the beginning of this new movement of enlightenment?
Is this like our Age of Aquarius kind of thing?
Yes.
Wow.
Very much so.
Oh, that's neat.
That's very cool.
And what do we expect to have happen over the next, I don't know, 800 years?
Well, get ready for all the spiritual goodies to be available.
Does it matter?
Well, yeah. If I'm coming back, I'd like to know what's going to happen.
I guess when you come back.
Yeah, this will be the time when we start gaining all our spiritual powers, telekinesis, telepathy. Be careful with that telepathy thing. You're going to have to be careful what you think pretty soon.
What about transporting? Will we be able to teleport? Or is that
yes.
just...
Oh. Yes. Because you know what? This physical reality is not as solid as it seems. Everybody thinks this is solid. This is a dream world. This is an astral world. And it only seems solid because we have a physical vehicle in it. But if you really want to know the truth... It's less than 1% matter. The rest of it is just empty space. And this is science. Mm. This isn't just a bunch of spiritual woo-woo. This is science. And we'll be able to move things in ways that people never imagined, including ourselves.
So can you teleport?
I wish I could move my body. I can actually teleport my consciousness, but I can't move my body yet. I'm working on that one because it would be nice to, you know, fly for free to the United States and back to Ecuador again.
That would save some cash. Hold on, everybody. We got to take a quick break and a word from our sponsor. We will be right back. More talk about teleporting and other kind of cool stuff like that. All right, hang tight.
Europe. Plotsky is an internationally sought-out psychic reader, psychic medium, and pet communicator. Clients from around the globe describe the experience as insightful, uplifting, extremely powerful, and very accurate. With 25 years' experience in tarot cards and numerology, her insight will reveal many things that will transform your life. Can't visit her in person? No problem. She's available on Skype. Non-believers and skeptics are always welcome. One session with Shira will change your life. Go to shirasplace.com.
Warning! Radical new information about the death of Jesus, told by a present-day eyewitness. So bizarre, it may be very difficult to find agreement with, but in hopes will stir your curiosity and cause you to embark upon your own journey. My Journey Beyond the Bizarre, by Apollo spacecraft engineer Edward J. Evers, tells what really happened to Jesus in his last hours here on Earth. How? Because Edward J. Evers was there in a past life. Discover statements never spoke before now, plus the workings of your conscious and subconscious minds, past lives, you as a spirit, UFOs, and so much more. Get your copy of My Journey Beyond the Bizarre by Edward J. Evers at www.ejevers.com. Again, that's ejevers.com. Get worldwide exposure. Be heard live on hundreds of the world's largest live broadcast stations. Spiritually Raw, the ass-whipping truth wants you. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, theories, and dogmas surrounding the spirit world, and no topic is taboo. Do you have an amazing or unusual personal story? Are you an author, expert, or authority in ancient mysteries, conspiracy theories, UFOs, aliens, world religions, or anything revolving around the spirit world? If so, then Spiritually Raw wants you. Be a featured guest, highlight your products and services, and showcase your personality. We book up really fast, so yeah, go to spirituallyraw.com and submit your request today.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very much. Hope you are enjoying our guest again, Christine Breeze, who is our frequent flyer here. So, Christine, welcome back.
Thank you. Hello.
Yeah. So getting back to, I know we talked a little bit about the retreats and everything and the free retreats you're coming up and things like that. So what, you know, I know other than the fact of the money and everything like that, but I mean, is this going to be a constant thing that you're just going to be making available to people? And does that affect the other people in any way that are actually paying for the retreats? Meaning that are they saying to you like, hey, how come I can't come in for free kind of thing like that?
There's nobody who can't come to the free ones. Absolutely nobody is left out. Doesn't matter if they have a lot of money or not. The free ones aren't the medicine retreats. I can't offer those for free because those cost a lot of money to put on. But when I come to the States or I go to Europe or Canada or places like that, I can rent a hall, or if someone gives us a donation of a hall for an afternoon, then why not let everybody come who wants to?
Right.
And honestly, I'm trying to start a trend. And yes, this is going to go on for the rest of my life. Because I'm trying to shame all the other spiritual teachers into doing it too. I mean, come on, some of them don't even need money anymore.
Lead the way, Christine, lead the way. There you go. Lead the way. There you go. Hey, whoever is back behind there, we're getting some background noise talking. So if we can either mute yourself or hearing your private conversations on air. All right. There you go. Hopefully that helps.
Are we good now?
Yeah, we good. Everybody got that out of their system? All right, good.
Yeah.
You gotta love the radio.
Christine, where do you see your life in the next 10, 20 years? Like, what do you want to leave? Obviously, you have you've lived an extraordinary life and you do extraordinary things for people. What type of legacy, like, what do you want to leave? What do you want to be known for? Let's put it that way.
I feel like I'm leaving it now. I mean, I'm doing it now. I've created the University of Metaphysical Sciences. I've created Gaia Sagrada Retreat Center. I am going to start a shaman school soon. Schools are kind of my talent, bringing all the right people together to create a really good vehicle for awakening and things like that. And I'm in the process of leaving the legacy, I guess. But you know what? Honestly, it's not about me. It's not an ego-driven thing because, to be honest, this is a grain of sand in the universe, a grain of sand in eternity. It's like three blinks of an eye and it's over. So honestly, how long does anybody really remember anyone who has been here, say, you know, 5,000 years ago? I mean, we don't remember any of them. So, I mean, somebody gets maybe remembered for a few hundred years at the most. Maybe Jesus got remembered a little longer, but that's about as far back as it goes. So it's not, we shouldn't do any of this stuff for being remembered for who we are. It's about evolution of the species, and we've all come here to contribute to this evolution of this project, this human experiment, and it's more for just each of us being the part of God's self that has had an exciting journey being in the physical and creating something.
Cool. Do you think Jesus and Buddha, were they one of the same spirit, or were they actually two separate energies?
If you really want to know the truth, all the same one living all these lives. The same one that was in them is in you and me, everybody. It's the same one. It's just one self living every single one of these lives.
Is it like an energy, Christine, that just kind of just shows up in different places at different times with different languages that they can speak to communicate?
I'm still trying to digest what she just said. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Go back. Rewind. Hold on a second.
Well, I think I was getting to the bottom of the question.
Yeah, I was still trying to figure it out, though.
You think that's is that close? Maybe, Christine. You think? You know, like they're all
it's
like.
Close. Let's put it this way: God is your consciousness, and you are the expression of that consciousness. It's sort of like you are the answer to a "what if" question in God's mind. Said, "What if my name was? What if my history is? What if my culture is? What if my language is? What if my experiences, my strengths, my weaknesses, all this?" And whew, there goes the dream. It begins, and you are the answer to that question. And so this one self, you're really actually God trying to discover who it is. God's not just sitting somewhere all perfect and doesn't need to grow. I mean, God is growing. It's a growing, learning being.
Don't touch it. Mm.
That's deep.
That is deep. That is deep. Where's the money in the collection plate, everybody? Put it in the collection plate there. That was pretty damn good, Christine. All right. All right, Christine, before you love and leave us here, we got another guest coming up. Can you tell everybody about the date of the event, wherever you'd like to send people here, how they can get a hold of you, all that good stuff?
Yeah, just go to freeretreats4all.com. And if you just look up free meditation retreat or free retreat, I think it just comes to the top of Google because nobody's competing with me for that.
All right, right on.
And they could just make a reservation and it's free and show February 15th, 2020 at the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show.
All right.
It's going to be our next one.
Thank you, Christine. Awesome. Right on,
and
everybody.
We'll do some other places too.
Yep. And we'll be telling you more about Christine's travels as she comes back and back and back on the show here. So I just committed you a bunch of times, at least three, I think, Christine, by saying that. So, all right, our next guest, he's trying to pry in here. Let's talk about that real quick.
I know, he's like a little squirrel in the background.
I know. God bless him.
Edward J. Evers. He has done several hundred years of past life regression. He was there, Jay. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
Are you focused?
I'm focused.
Because he was there when Jesus was crucified.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Edward died and started toward the light at the age of 19, and he has been exterior of his body three times, that he is aware of, that is. He was married to the same beautiful woman for 60 years and spent 15 years in Scientology, but he quit because they couldn't back up their claims. He was a research and Dell development electronics engineer on the Minuteman missile project. That's a mouthful. And the Apollo spacecraft project. Edward Evers is the author of The Truth Shall Set You Free and My Journey Beyond the Bizarre. Edward is 87 years young.
Edward, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Jay.
Oh, you're welcome. See that? Somebody said thank you to me first.
Aww.
Isn't that nice?
Does it make you feel good now, Jay?
I do. Especially after you threw me under the bus earlier, telling people my private moments.
That was nothing.
So, Edward, you, more importantly, forget about me. You were with Jesus. Can you tell us about that? I mean, that's a pretty profound thing to be able to claim or state out there. Yeah, you were with Jesus.
Yeah, I've had this information since about 1968, and my wife told me I couldn't put it to print because everyone would think I was crazy.
Nah.
I am crazy, but that doesn't matter. Let me start out by saying Judas went to Pilate, and he told Pilate he knew where Jesus was sleeping. And Pilate got a kick out of that. And when he told him that he was sleeping with the town whore that he saved from the people, that really turned him on. And Herod had been in Pilate's head all the time saying, get rid of this man any way you can or I'll get rid of you. Well, he was the governor of Judea, and he didn't want to lose his sweet job and his home and everything else, so he was after Jesus. Anyway, when he had Jesus and Barabbas up before the people, he told the people, my guards went and pulled this man out of bed. And he was sleeping with the whore that he saved from you people.
Wait, Edward, stop right there. Hold on. Are you saying that Jesus was sleeping with a whore?
The whore,
right.
You got to say it the way he says it, though. Yes. He says it the whore.
Give it time. Mary Magdalene was the one he saved from the people. And she lived with him from that day on. She used to wash his feet with her hair. That's how much she loved him.
Were they married?
Anyway, I'll get to that soon.
Okay.
Give him a chance.
Let me build the story.
I know, okay, the anticipation. Edward, stop that. All right, Edward, I'll make sure she behaves.
Slap her hand. Anyway, Pilate had him before the people. He told the people. They were very disgruntled about it. And he turned to Peter, who was standing on about the third step up, and he said, Peter, did you know that he was sleeping with this town whore? Peter said, no, I don't know anything about it. And the second question he asked him, he says, but haven't you been to his house and seen her there? And he said, no, I don't know anything about it. The third question he asked him really riled the crowd. He asked him, I've been told you are the best friend of this man, his number one disciple. And Peter replied with, I don't even know the man.
And how do you know this, Edward?
That's when the crowd or the cock crowed. Do you know what the cock crowed meant?
Yeah, but my question first, though, is how do you, Edward J. Evers, know this to be true?
I was standing there.
You were there.
I was there.
Why you? Why do you think you were the witness to all this?
You've got me there.
Past life regression.
I have no idea.
I think it was past fate. Life regression.
Well, yeah, I'm just wondering from his perspective why, like, you know, like he must ask himself why was it me? Why, how did I get there? You know, so wouldn't you ask yourself that? I would.
The why I was there?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I would ask that. First of all, I just kind of go with it. But again, you know, he's maybe just got a different, you know, vibe about it. Yeah. I mean, he maybe really, really went deep into it.
Well, that's,
you
know, obvious.
Who are we to say where we're at?
I'm just
when
curious.
We're there, why we're there, kind of thing like that, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Now hold on, Edward.
We're going to find out more about why Edward was there after a word from our sponsor. Hang tight, everybody.
Make 2020 an incredible year. Live the life you desire in your relationships, your career, your financial freedom, your health. It's all possible. Shari Hobson, an internationally known psychic counselor, With over 20 years of experience as a karma and past life analyst, helps you move your dreams into reality. Her energy work in clearing and releasing blocks is being recognized by spiritual leaders and doctors from around the world. Clear your path to your purpose, passion, and potential. Book your session today at SherryHopson.com. That's SherryHopson.com.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very much. We were talking about the crowing cock, right?
If that's how you want to put it, yes.
Yeah, yeah. We wanted to know. I mean, why was the cock crowing three times, right?
Yep.
So, Edward, can you tell us?
May I continue?
Yes, please, yes. We just got back from break. Edward, please.
Okay. Do you know what the cock crowed meant?
Not particularly.
Okay. They've searched this, and they've perused it for years and never been able to figure it out. I will tell you, the cock crowed meant the crowd jeered. When Peter denied knowing Christ, the crowd knew better, and they all started screaming, "Liar, liar, traitor."
Mm.
And that was the cock crowed.
Makes sense now that you put it that way. Yes. Were you there? Okay, so now you're there, and he gets crucified. He's on the cross. Were you present?
No.
No?
Let me do the story as I've rehearsed it a million times, you'll mess me all up, okay?
Gotcha. My apologies.
Then you can ask your questions by the ton.
Perfect. I'm going to just sit back and relax then.
All right, thank you. Now,
take over the show, Pilate, man. It's all good.
I'm taking over.
It's all you.
Pilate. Are you done?
No, you're good.
I'm
you're good.
For
no,
you.
This is your show. Go. This is your party now.
Okay. Pilate told the people, "This is a holy day of Passover, and I can let one of these men go. Now, I see no sin in this man, but as your king, you judge him." And he said, "What's your pleasure?" Well, Barabbas' gang was out in the crowd, and they immediately started screaming, "Barabbas, Barabbas, Barabbas." And it didn't matter who yelled or how loud they yelled. Herod was in the back of Pilate's head saying, "You're done if you don't get rid of this guy." So he let Barabbas go.
And then what?
Now, then Jesus, who had been beaten several times by the guards, was exhausted. He just stood there. And it was time for him to carry the cross off to the hill. So here he is carrying that cross, and some idiot ran up and slammed a wreath of thorns down on his head. Keep that in mind.
Okay.
Off he went. It was going on evening time. The sky was black with clouds. The wind was blowing so cold it cut through you like ice. And Jesus was up there on the cross with nails in his hands and ropes tied around his arms to hold him up. Tears and blood were running down his face from the thorns. He shouted out, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" Which shows me that he lost all his power. He looked down at his mother, who badgered him every day, saying, "Jesus, tell them you're my son, not the Son of God, and they'll leave you alone." His answer was always, "Woman, what am I to do with thee?" He called her woman all the time. Woman. He would not say mother. And he looked down upon her, and one of the last things he said was, "Woman, behold thy son." He relented and said, "Yes, I am your son." By then it was too late.
Why do you think he did that at the last minute?
Just to give her peace.
And now she got her peace. He got crucified. Yep. So do you think that ultimately that when you were there, do you kind of get an idea from when you actually saw this yourself? Can you give our audience an idea at, or can you give us a sense, if you would, of what role you played in there? Were you an eyewitness?
That's one question I will not answer.
Okay, that's one question you will not answer. Okay, how about...
Yep. Now I want the answer,
that just makes you want to that much more. So
that I have not told to anybody except two dear friends that I have that were in Scientology with me. Because they understood.
What does Scientology think about all of this?
They sent two people to my door because a friend of mine here in Riverside wrote a book called L. Ron Hubbard, Madman or Messiah. And I helped him with his computer. I put a program on for him that he could write the book with. And after the book came out, I found out he put my name in there as a thank you. Well, I had two goons, I call them goons, in black suits with a black car, come up to my front door. And being old, I always carry my .38 in my back pocket. And I had told my friend that if anybody ever approached me about it, I was going to put him down. Just to save myself. And he said, "That's fine, Ed, go ahead." Anyway, they came to the door and said, "Do you know this guy?" And they told me his name. I won't say it. I said, "Yeah, I know the SOB. He owes me $20,000 that he borrowed out of my business. Never paid me back." I said, "If you see him, let me know where he's at." And I pulled my .38 out and held it in front of him. Oh, boy, they backed off and apologized and said, "Sorry for bothering you," and scooted off in their car. And I know they were from Scientology. All the bad things they're saying about Scientology breaks my heart.
Is that so? Why?
Why is that?
Why does that break your heart?
Well, Scientology Dianetics was originally written by a guy named Alfred Korzybski. He's a Polish philosopher and writer. You can Google his name. It's in my book. And he's written several books, and he wrote some papers called General Semantics. And L. Ron Hubbard found those. He wrote those in 1928, and Hubbard found them and rewrote them in 1935 as Dianetics, Modern Science of Mental Health. And I have done all my past life regression through Scientology. It's been about 15 years worth.
Did they put you through that, or is that something that you wanted to go through yourself?
That's something I enjoyed immensely, looking at past lifetimes. I was pulled down out of a tree by a tiger in India and mauled and killed. I've never been able to climb a tree since.
What was your name?
I was on the horse going home after a war, following railroad tracks. And we both fell asleep. We were standing by the tracks, and when the train came, the engineer blew the whistle and scared my horse, and the horse threw me off into the tracks, and I was killed by the train.
Ew.
I've never been able to stand on railroad tracks or ride a horse since.
Or be around tigers.
Yeah.
Or be around tigers.
Yeah.
That's the reactive mind, and that's another one of my shows I want to do.
Yeah. You know.
How far up the Scientology food chain were you?
I got up to what's called OT5 and a Class 2 auditor.
And how is that like, if you can kind of put that in perspective for us?
Is that like the Pope?
OT5 and a Class 2 auditor, like where would that be relevant to, let's say, what?
All right.
Yeah, like, right like, now, like a Catholic bishop?
Right now, like the Pope. They've released eight OT levels. OT stands for Operating Thetan. All the kids used to say, oh, my spirit this and my spirit that, when my and spirit are both the same. You're just saying my, me. And L. Ron Hubbard got tired of it, so he coined a new word called Thetan. Theta, Greek for that which knows that it is, and with an N on the end of it, to the nth degree or forever. So you are a Thetan. An operating Thetan is one who has power over matter, energy, space, and time, supposedly.
Did you?
And that's OT-10. OT-8, 9, and 10 supposedly were written 20 years ago, but they haven't released it yet. And I don't know if David Miscavige will ever release it. He's been sitting on them for years.
Did you get out because...
I got out because my wife said it's either me or Scientology.
Was she into Scientology?
Now we're getting somewhere.
She did not like Scientology.
Why did she feel like it was kind of like a cultish kind of place experience?
I don't know what her feelings were. One thing, she was a very how would you say it? She didn't like to speak about herself. She was very quiet about herself. She loved everybody, but she didn't want to be in anything that pulls secrets out of her. And Scientology does just that. They pull all your secrets out of you.
Did you yourself ever feel like it was a cult?
No. It's to me, it's not a cult. Alfred Korzybski didn't mean it to be a cult. Oh, I could go on forever about this. Your subconscious mind is the source of the seed of doubt that Jesus talks about. Jesus said, no man shall see God, the face of God, nor open the gates of heaven, lest he be reborn of the Spirit. Buddha said, meditate on your source of existence, and ye shall know nirvana. Okay, the dumb people of that day thought, oh, my umbilical cord was my source of existence and my mother. So they sat down and stared at their navel buttons. That's how stupid they were. So, when Jesus and Buddha meant the same thing, go back in your memory and remember when you were born as a spirit, and you shall see the face of God, and you shall see nirvana.
Does Scientology believe Jesus is the Son of God, the only Son of God, the begotten Son, the only way to get through
the
pearly
gates? They never talk about it. They never talk about it.
What exactly?
The only thing they speak about is God or Supreme Being is the eighth dynamic through which we live. There are eight dynamics through which we live. And God or Supreme Being is number eight. You turn eight on its side and it's the sign of infinity. And that was Hubbard's little joke, I guess.
That was Hubbard's little
joke.
I have
a couple questions when we get back.
Yeah. We got to take a quick break, everybody, and more with Mr. Edward Evers.
And more about Scientology.
Ed should have his own show. I love the story time with that. It's great.
We haven't finished the story about Jesus yet either.
No, we haven't. And we got to take a quick break from the people that pay for this show. And when we come back, more with stories about Jesus from Edward Evers. Hang tight, everybody.
Successful online, you have to have a predictable system that takes the visitor from just being a visitor to a buyer. Do you need more leads, customers, and sales? If your books and services are not selling and your business is not growing, then you need a website audit to get to the root of the issue. Get a free 20-point website and social media audit report today.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very much, and I think we had more to talk about, right?
Well, yeah, yeah? I've been always curious about this with Scientology. You hear or you see on television that it costs a lot of money to be a member of Scientology. Is that true? Like, it was like tens of thousands of dollars?
Okay. When I joined it, it was early 1960s. And I started taking classes. One of my engineer buddies at Rockwell turned me on to Scientology. And if you were a student of Scientology, you could get co-processing with another student for $12.50 an hour. If you were public and come off the street, processing cost you $25 an hour. It is now, since Hubbard died and David Miscavige took over, it is now $1,000 an hour. And you can buy a lot of 10 hours for 10 grand.
And what does that do for you?
The same thing it did when it was $25 an hour.
It's inflation.
The first five or six levels of Scientology worked great for me. And when I got to level five, that was when I broke through and saw so many of my past lives. It wasn't funny. That's when I discovered Jesus. And I would like to finish the story about Jesus. I really would.
Yes, of course. Go ahead. I want you to do that because we're wrapping up towards the close of the show.
They hauled him off and they put him in his tomb. They rolled a stone in front of it. And some of his friends and Christians were guarding his grave. And Pilate sent guards out to chase the people away one night, and they grabbed him, picked him up, and they took him outside of town and they dropped him into an old dried up well. That's where his bones are today. Now, one of the things that really hit me hard was the fact that Jesus was accused of living in sin. He was convicted of living in sin, and he died for living in sin. That's what Pilate got him on. Now, in the way I have interpreted it and the way it comes through to me is Jesus died for man's sin, but not like you think. He was accused of a man's sin. And that's what he died from.
I see. So let me put that. Let me just make sure I understood it, because you may have gotten a bright bulb out there from me. So he didn't die from man's sins, per se. He died from a man's sin. So, like, literally, this was a sin that a man had, not an overall man's sin.
That's right.
So he didn't die for, let's say, Juan, our producer's sins, right?
Right.
Do you think
there you go.
Yeah, that's a light bulb moment.
Is that a light bulb moment for you?
Yeah. What?
That's a hard one to swallow.
No, actually, I got it. It makes a lot more sense.
That actually did make sense to me.
Do you then believe...
Thank you, Ed.
Yeah. Do you think it's just dogma, religious dogma, that you have to believe in Jesus to get to the pearly gates? Do you think that Jesus is the gatekeeper? Let's put it that way.
Jesus said, "I am the way. I am truth. I am love, and only through me, the way, truth, and love, will you get to heaven."
Well, what if people don't believe in Jesus? How are they going to get to heaven?
Everybody goes to heaven.
Aw, there you go.
It's all a big control thing. Control mankind. There's hundreds of different versions of the Bible. I've heard one version of the Bible has seven Gospels instead of four. Folks, I've been studying this and researching this since at 5 years old, my grandmother was reading me out of her German Bible and telling me all kinds of things that she knew. I mean, this isn't something I just stumbled on accidentally. I mean, I've been searching my whole life. I was engaged to a preacher's daughter. I went with him for 2 years, four nights a week, to different churches while he preached. And it's all the same old story. No preacher ever tells you that Jesus lost his power on the cross.
Why did Jesus say that then? What did he actually mean by that? Because it's gotten so incredibly misinterpreted.
That's the finish of the story.
No.
That wreath of thorns that was jammed on his head keyed in his subconscious mind and a past life death.
What does that mean?
I lived in the same village he lived in, back in the Amazons, and they were headhunters. And you were taught as a child, if the other tribe catches you, they're going to sew up your extremities, cut off your head, put a band around your forehead first so that you can't get out of your head as a spirit. And the kids believe this, clear up, just like everybody believes all the malarkey that's going on now.
Who else says malarkey?
When they slammed that wreath down on his head, it pulled in that past life death of when he was caught and hung in a village and lost all his power to the village. And when he lost all his power to the village, the subconscious mind does not see the differences between a leather strap and a wreath of thorns. It only sees the similarities, and I can tell you dozens of stories of my past lives where that's happened.
Did Jesus ever marry?
Yes.
Ah.
That's why.
Good.
Judas took the 30 pieces of silver back to Pilate and gave them back to him. He went home and hanged himself. Pilate found out through records that Jesus and Mary were married and were not living in sin. And he felt so bad about it, he gave up his job and he went home and hanged himself.
Pilate did?
Pilate did.
He hung himself too because he felt bad because he wrongfully did.
He hung himself too because he felt so bad. When he found out Jesus was actually married and not living in sin, it killed him.
Okay.
Why did they use this one human being by the name of Jesus and wrote an entire history about and around this one human being?
Okay. Here's the deal. We have hundreds of billions of stars in our galaxy. We have hundreds of billions of galaxies in our universe. They're not able to count how many universes there are, but it goes on infinitive. There have been several people who have keyed out their banks, their subconscious minds, and become, I don't know what you would say, educated or powerful as Jesus and Buddha. I mean, I've studied this. Buddha was a tall, thin man. He wasn't able to leave his father's compound until he was 21. And when he did, his father sent all the servants out ahead of him to get rid of all the dead people and all the dying people and the old people and any bad things he might see. And people have him depicted as this fat-bellied, I don't know,
jolly guy like Santa Claus?
Yeah. You see, my whole story that I have found, the only reason I repeat it is because I want people to stop taking other people's words for things and start searching themselves. Get on your own journey. You'll be surprised what you find. go and find someone who does past life regression and take a look at your past lives. You'll be amazed what you find.
That is amazing. That is Mr. Edward Evers, everybody. I love Edward, too. That was some great enlightening stuff there, my friend. Thank you very much for sharing with you. And I know Edward is going to be back on the show, too, so everybody will let you know when that comes up. Edward, can you let everybody know where they can find you and how they can buy your book?
I posted it on Facebook already.
All right. Well, let us know on air, too. How do they buy your book?
They can go to Amazon Kindle. And they can download it as an ebook, or they can buy it as a paperback. The ebook's a lot cheaper and easier to get, and you can download it on your computer and read it on Kindle.
And you can also check Edward out at www.ejevers.com.
EJEvers.com, everybody. Edward, thank you very much for being on the show. Thank you for your enlightenment today, my good friend. I'd also like to thank Christine Breeze for showing up today again. Thank you very much for her. And take advantage of those free retreats. So that sounds pretty cool, right?
How could you beat that? It's free.
Hope you enjoyed it, because we most certainly did on this end.
Free and fun. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often. Tell all your friends. And most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.
Up and I see the stars out tonight. Look up and I feel things just ain't right. Look up and I hear.